This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry, with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. I know a lot of our listeners fire up episodes while they're stuck in traffic or taking the dog for a walk. We also have a companion podcast called Projects. That one digs deep on the creative and tech behind landmark signage projects. That's done every second Friday by Michael Tutton, and you can find that at dsprojects.podbean.com. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. There's nothing all that new about digital signage networks using video analytics to get some sense of what's happening with audiences near screens. But AdMobilize is not just another company peddling the same old stuff. I spoke with CEO and founder Rodolfo Sackerman about a product and service he says rolls up a wide range of different measurement technologies under one simple, harmonized platform. Sackerman comes out of the IT side of the hospitality industry, and he totally gets the importance of customer service and experience. He also understands buzz and the insatiable appetite out there for cutting costs. That may explain, in part, why the company's AdBeacon measurement device runs off the extremely buzzworthy Raspberry Pi board. We get into a lot of things in our chat, including how he thinks computer vision and artificial intelligence will work in the future in digital signage and out of home. All right, Rodolfo, first thing, why don't you tell me what the company's all about and straighten me out on whether the company is AdMobilize or Matrix Labs or, you know, how does all that work?
Sure. Very nice speaking, Dave. So I'll give a little bit of background on the company and our vision. So the company, I started it probably 4 years ago. It was just myself. Then over a lunch, I had my first investor, believed on my 5 PowerPoint slide presentation. He cut me a check for $100K. I think we're eating pasta. And then from that happened in Miami. So that was the beginning of the company. And my vision was, how do you connect the physical world to the online world? How do you connect it to the online grid? It started off this feeling of, let's create the Google Analytics for the physical world. And then, you know, through these past 4 years, we went from a company of just myself to now a company of 35 people, headquartered here in Miami. We have offices in Brazil, in London, in Colombia. From the 35 people, I would say 28 of us are engineers. So these engineers are pretty impressive group of guys and girls. You know, everything from machine learning, computer vision, hardware, software. It's an impressive group, not only from, I think, IQ, but I'm very big on EQ, kind of that emotional coefficient of all for one, one for all. And then, you know, in the industry, really digital signage, out of home, digital out of home and retail, the brand of the company is really called AdMobilize. Mm-hmm. That's how we have entered those verticals. And that's kind of the reputation we have increasingly built over the past two years. Now, when you think of Matrix Labs, think of it as almost our laboratory for new inventions and products that will revolutionize in many ways how Internet of Things / artificial intelligence evolve. So a lot of the technology we built for AdMobilize is really the basis of this concept of course, machine learning, computer vision. We developed our own neural networks. And what we tried to do was create this all-in-one mammoth kind of computer vision platform, right? And when I say that is we developed everything from facial detection with, of course, emotion analysis, demographics. Then we developed an entire stack, including facial recognition, then gesture recognition, simply using a 2D camera. We developed vehicle detection, vehicle recognition, crowd analytics. So what we really try to do is how can we create a computer vision platform where everything is on instant detection, the highest possible accuracy, consuming the lowest amount of bandwidth possible, and it was designed for scalability, meaning the technology can be deployed on any media player. It can be embedded onto any really digital signage, manufactured screen that has a processor and a camera. We created our own hardware, which, you know, has been sold really well globally. It's called the Ad Beacon, not to be confused with iBeacons. Our Ad Beacon, what it is, it's a processor. It's the size of an iPhone 6S, maybe a little bit thicker. It has an 8-megapixel camera, and it's really the world's first plug-and-measure device. So think of it like a Google Analytics / computer vision in a box, right? So so that's really how we separated the brands.
Right.
So in those vehicles, it's at Mobilize. In the world of Internet of Things, and we can go a little bit deeper about that, it's more this concept of Matrix Labs.
Right. So some of this technology has been around for a number of years. It sounds like what you're saying is there were a whole bunch of kind of complementary but somewhat siloed activities from different software companies doing elements of this thing. And what you've done is pulled together all of it into one platform.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. And the way that our vision is if you, let's say if you are an operator of digital signage and advertising, an operator, mm-hmm. and in your network you have street level digital posters, and you have vehicle kind of larger format billboards, and you're trying to innovate things, maybe including voice recognition at the edge. And you're trying to do all of this intelligence and interactivity with your inventory, both for the concept of, we like to break it down in three categories, which is capture, interactivity, and just kind of dynamic intelligence. So if you're trying to do these things throughout your network, one to get data, one to increase revenue models and things like that, you would want to have all of this into one infrastructure, one kind of partner. And that's what we have done. And it's just amazing, right? When I started this company, it stemmed out of an experience I had when I was leading innovation at the Breakers Resort in Palm Beach, which is probably one of the most successful privately owned hotels in the world. I was there 10 years. I led all of innovation for them. And then at one point is, I was buying, of course, all the online media, on the Google platforms and so forth. And then, we decided to buy some out-of-home media. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving in my car, riding around, I-95, which is here in Florida, and I was looking, okay, so I have to basically get a piece of paper, write the number of the exit, and say I like that board or not. And then I went back to the office, and then you're trying to buy, rent that space, and then I'm thinking, there's no metrics. They can't tell me how many cars passed in front of it, and there's no intelligence. So it kind of like just boggled my mind that there was no technology that would allow that to happen. So that was the beginning. And then, it evolved much bigger. And I'm very big on teams. So we have you have a seed for a company. And then, of course, you get amazing people around it. And then that vision becomes really a collaborative vision. And then hopefully you can develop some really powerful tech, right? So that's what we have done. It's kind of an all-in-one platform mm-hmm. that my mind is... And that's kind of the experience I had at DSC a few weeks ago compared to the experience we had the year prior. So the year prior, people would come to our booth and see our tech and say, oh, that's interesting, cool, I've heard of this, pretty nice. This year, because I think of the work that we have done with the team and how the industry is ready, people were coming to us saying, oh my goodness, how do I put my entire network using this technology? I want to use your vehicle detection technology and dashboard. I want to use kind of your emotion analysis. So it completely changed. And the way that, of course, I'm a student of technology and innovation for decades now, mm-hmm. is you have tipping points where the technology is ready. The industry has realized that unless they adopt it, their competitors are going to kind of run them over, or they're going to lose mammoth growth opportunities. So I'm almost kind of calling this tipping point in our industry, which is, you know, computer vision, artificial intelligence, technologies which allows you to understand your physical world, allows you to create kind of delight and surprise experiences for your consumers. It's here now. It's no longer, it's almost like it makes me think of previous technologies in the space. Almost like, I don't know if you remember, that Rio MP3 player?
Yep.
Which was kind of, a tricky piece of equipment. It was hard to download songs, nothing really communicated. And then, of course, Apple came along with a platform that was very easy. And it was one little hardware device. You could upload 1,000 songs. The UI UX was pretty intuitive. So that's how I think the industry is relating to this type of technology. And of course, you know, we really like our platform of how they embrace it. It's just easy, it's intuitive. They can measure results. It's kind of, we're big on plug and play, because some companies have advanced technical teams and some don't. Mm-hmm. And my job and the job of the team is, let's make it really intuitive. This should not be complex at this point.
So you were talking about the tipping point and suggesting that it's about a better service delivery and experience and so on. But I wonder if the tipping point, if there is indeed one, you're living it, I'm not, has more to do with just a push for accountability. That if you want us to buy your stuff, if you want us to advertise in your space or whatever, I need to see metrics. I want accountability. I'm not going to just accept that here's your gross number of impressions and it'll be awesome. Just sign here, please.
I think in part, Dave, the way I see it is, let's say I'm the CEO of a Coca-Cola company and I have my CMO, and let's say that, you know, she spends an amount in online advertising, and then she comes back and shows me a report, and I'm more or less, even though in online there's some not accurate data, but there's data. And then she comes to me and shows me a report of all the money we've spent on out of home. And I ask her simply, okay, so show me a report of what happened today, and show me a report of what happened in the last week. Unless these brands can come up with real-time 95% plus accurate numbers, people are going to be fired. Because mm-hmm. How can you spend this amount of kind of technology, this amount of money without technology to back it up, right? So I think the concept of accountability is huge for brands. And at the end of the day, brands are the ones who are paying the checks. Mm-hmm. They're paying everyone's salaries, really. But then what we're finding is that operators can find new revenue models by utilizing this technology. I mean, we have a board with Unilead, which is our partners in London. And, you know, they believe that one board had a certain number of cars historically that would pass by it. After using the technology for, I think now 9 months, they're actually showing that the numbers of cars that are passing in front of that board are higher than the historical figures. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of this information that now people can get instantly. And information, the data is power. And if you're able to use that data in many ways, you can find new revenue models for your companies. And at the same time, you're providing that kind of transparency of information. And in my mind, is history-based analytics are done. It's almost going back to print media, where people would say, oh, yes, you know, your Fortune magazine is going to be mailed to 300,000 circulation, and these more or less are the markets. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was that. And then, of course, you know, computers started being connected to the internet. People were creating apps, which are just web pages. You could measure the, you know, the click and the attention time and all of this information. Then the industry changed. Is the same thing now. And when I say the tipping point is here, comes from a place of a company of 35 people living and breathing this technology and going to market for now 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. It took us, I would say, 1.5 years to create this state-of-the-art kind of platform. And I would say maybe, you know, 1.5 years, 2 years to go to market and kind of educate the industry. And if you compare our numbers, let's say from 2016 over 2015, we're up 300% growth. And the numbers just came in now for our first quarter, 2017. We're up 362% over the same quarter last year. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is people realize that it's no longer difficult to implement this technology. The costs are not expensive. And what they're finding is that they can create revenue models around this to provide their clients. So I'll give you an example. So Havas Media is one of the largest kind of advertising agencies globally.
Sure.
They created a program called Havas Ad City, which is basically for smart cities and then the implementation of kind of below the line marketing campaigns. They utilize our technology. We've started in Peru and it's going to go kind of Latin America and most likely global. And what's happening is they measure what's happening with those kind of advertising deployments. They package in some kind of a consulting fee. Mm-hmm. And now they provide real-time metrics. So they just created themselves an entire new revenue line by utilizing our platform. Secondly, I'll give you another example. So let's say another big partner of ours is Adams Outdoor. And they're specifically using vehicle detection technology right now. Mm-hmm. But some of the conversations that we're having with them and a lot of other partners is, let's do a scenario where, and I'm big on revenue management. When I was at the Breakers, I kind of built their revenue management practice with, so a hotel, you know, just like planes, you have a limited number of seats, so it's perishable inventory. Similarly with, you know, digital signage, you have a certain number of locations. Of course, you know, with rotation of ads, you can double that. But what happens if you start using yield management techniques for out of home based on the real-time metrics you're getting? So going back to the vehicle example, let's say you are on a road where, you know, it's 55 miles per hour limit. And now you have technology, our technology there. And basically technology is really simple. You put a PC, kind of a VivoTech type camera, as long as it's connected to the internet. We train with machine learning, you know, the zones where the cars are passing. So accuracy is between, I would say, 95 to 99% day or night, rush hour or not, shadow or not shadow. So really complex technology. We made it simple. Now, let's say that those cars are now going 10 miles per hour. The technology, you know, measures the speed. Mm-hmm. You know, and that hardware equipment I told you only costs $650. So it's really inexpensive, the type of hardware that you need at this point, because all the technology and firepower is on the algorithms and on the platform. So let's say now that those cars are going 10 miles per hour on an average 55 mile per hour speed, and you have an ad, you know, showing on the large format digital screen. Now, if that technology is simply integrated into the CMS, the operators or whatever other CMS, is really easy for us to integrate. Now, you can show an ad that it's part of your premium ad group, because now people are being exposed 5 times longer to your ad because of the speed that it's currently on the road. So you can easily charge a premium for whatever advertiser, because now you're showing them a lot more exposure. Mm-hmm. And they can increase their revenues very simply by using this technology. So what we're finding is that concept of, we're giving you transparency and data, but we're enabling you to wow your clients, for you to create new revenue lines, and for you to kind of take the industry to higher levels of where, if you are able just to understand the information and price your kind of your inventory in more of a dynamic, smart way, you can increase your revenue significantly with your existing inventory. And that's a really powerful theme that we are also kind of educating and just exposing the industry to. Mm-hmm.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
Is it purely an advertising thing, or are there other applications for this?
Yeah, there are other applications. We're finding some that are really interesting, which is more on the corporate visual communications space. So, you know, what you're trying to do is capture data that is actionable. So I'll give you another example. We're starting to do a big move now into hospitality. So think of front desk agents that are behind the front desk. And what is their demeanor at checkout time? Were they smiling? What percentage of smiles were there? Because of course, in hospitality, you know, the checkout time is your moment of truth. Check-in and checkout. But checkout is even more important because people are having to pay. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of flavor. So how do you measure that emotion of your team in real time or historically or by shift? Today, there's really no way of doing it. You know, the front desk manager can maybe look at his team and say, okay, more or less, they were more or less happy today. But you implement that technology and now you have real data that gives you the power to train your team better, you know, identify that maybe, you know, that shift is not a very welcoming shift and, you know, you need to kind of change the players a little bit. So hospitality is another way that is really interesting. And something else, you know, kind of connecting the Matrix Labs product line, you know, we launched this little device, which is called Matrix Creator. So Matrix Creator is a development board that works with the Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi, you know, for those that don't know, is probably one of the most successful single board mini computers in the world. Have sold, I think, 12 million now. So we created this Matrix Creator that basically attaches to this Raspberry Pi. Matrix Creator has 20 sensors / communication protocols, including Z-Wave, Zigbee, NFC. It has a 8 microphone array, LED light. So it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of sensors embedded into one device. Now, what happens is you can then create applications using our operating system, and you can integrate these computer vision libraries, which we created, into creating an Internet of Things application very fast. So I'll give you an example, a concrete example. So we have retailers now coming to us saying, and some retailers have digital screens and some don't, David. Mm-hmm. So they're coming to us saying, look, we want to create an IoT solution that allows the audience to use voice recognition for wayfinding, for special offers, and things like that. And, you know, we want to direct them with the LED lights that are on the Matrix Creator to different sections of the room. We want to, you know, measure kind of, you know, the number of people that are coming into the location and things like that. So it's almost, it's a hardware, software, computer vision enabling platform that allows clients to create solutions for IoT extremely fast. So in this example I gave you, if a company were trying to do voice recognition with some visual kind of interactivity, they would have to go to a big company, probably spend between $3 and $5 million, a development time of hardware, software, infrastructure, computer vision that probably would take maybe, I would say, 18 months to 24 months to have a solution, mm-hmm. right? They can come, use our hardware, software, platform, infrastructure, operating system, and create that very complex solution probably within I would say maybe less than a month with little hardware. I mean, no real hardware engineering costs because we took that out. So the way that the industry is looking at us, 10 days ago, we were all over TechCrunch and The Verge and all of these publications. Because what's happening is people have woken up to our value and vision, right? Which is this. We have taken away the barriers to implement complex technologies without complexity of hardware or infrastructure and things like that. So, and, you know, the Matrix Creator evolved from the AdBeacon product I told you, you know, the little, and the AdBeacon in my mind is a one app, one device kind of platform. It's an amazing little piece of hardware with an 8-megapixel camera. You plug it in. Within a minute, it starts taking 10 pictures per second, which is pushed to a dashboard within 15 milliseconds of real-time data. So I can tell you the average age, emotion, gender, dwell time, all of that. And you simply did that by getting this thing out of a box, attaching it to a power outlet, and voila. You demystified and took away the barriers to entry. So that beacon is an incredible one app, one device. But the Matrix Creator and the future of this platform we're building, it allows our hardware to be more of a one device, hundreds of apps. So in essence, what we're doing there is similar to what Steve Jobs and his amazing team did, was create a hardware device, which was the iPhone, some sensors embedded into it. It had connectivity, of course, allowed developers to create applications on top of it. And then suddenly you had one piece of hardware that had the potential to have hundreds. Now there's 1.6 million apps. Of course, you know, I would say 50 of them are amazing. They're like killer apps, but it changed the world. So Internet of Things today, that's our value, is we have created a hardware with all the sensors. We have thousands of developers on our platform now creating apps that allow not only kind of entertaining apps, but some of these are kind of industry retail apps. And it's amazing because some of our clients right now globally, they're already developing the beginning of apps on the platform, which allows them themselves to create this interactive computer vision kind of apps for their own businesses. Some of these will be in retail. Some of these will be in digital signage. It's just amazing. It's a it's a building block platform.
So how does your company make money? Is it off the software licensing?
Yeah, sure. So for the entire AdMobilize kind of brand, it's a SaaS model, right? Okay. They pay us a monthly fee. We try to be really flexible with our pricing. You know, it depends on volume. And that's how we make money there. On the Matrix Creator platform, we make money on the hardware and then, of course, on the platform, because some of it is open source. And then part of it, if they're using our computer vision technology stack, they'll be paying us, you know, a monthly fee for that. And then if they create certain apps that become public and they kind of productize them and commercialize them, then it's kind of that Apple app model, okay. Apple Store model, where we keep a cut of that. So it's a really interesting model, you know, reduces these barriers to entry, and that's how we make money.
When it comes to computer vision that you're doing, you talked about emotion, you talked about a number of ways this is done. You said accuracy for recognizing motor vehicles is up 95% plus. What's it like when you get into things like measuring emotion, which I would imagine it's, you know, what's that line between a grin and a smile and a blank stare and so on? How accurate can you get on that?
Right. So that was a really interesting exercise, and we wanted to tackle it from a different way, right? Which forced us to, because I mean, most computer vision, the way that starts is people use kind of OpenCV and other available open source technologies, right?
Sure.
So we started that, and then we said, it's not good enough. It's not good enough because we have this vision of having all-in-one computer vision. So we developed our own neural networks on top of that and trained millions of images in a machine learning kind of engine we built, which allows us to train. It's almost like train the trainer, and then it becomes almost autonomous in its training. Not to get kind of too technical, but so the way that we can do this is our training sets are auto-classified, and then it allows our accuracies to go very high, right? For instance, we have a client in Japan called Media Edge. They're pretty big there. Mm-hmm. And Media Edge wanted training more for Asian faces, because historically all this technology has been more for European kind of backgrounds. So Asian faces poses some additional computer vision challenges because there's more similarities in features of these nodal points. So we ran an entire kind of model which allowed his model for the Japanese market to be the most accurate in terms of emotions and gender and so forth. So, but going back to your question of the emotions on the face, certain emotions are undeniable, right? If a person has a neutral face and then goes to a smile,
yeah,
you know that the person is smiling. If the person goes from a neutral face to kind of a surprise face, that's pretty, I mean, you're talking 95%+ accuracy. Mm-hmm. Now, other emotions like, let me see, between neutral and calm, there's some similarities there. It's almost the way we like to see it is our technology is as good as a human looking at another person's face. Mm-hmm. So if a person is looking neutral, maybe I look at the person and I think, you know, that person is calm. Mm-hmm. It's not neutral. So the technology is that accurate. I think four of the emotions are unbelievably accurate because they're undeniable, even by human computer vision analysis, right? And the other ones, they go into buckets. So that's how we do it.
So when you're at DSE and when you're at other events or you're out there talking to clients, is there a particular thing, a piece of functionality, a particular set of insights that really seem to help you cross the line with them as clients?
Yeah, so what happens is I think they've come to realize that our technology is the next level in the industry. I mean, we really feel good about that. I mean, we have clients even in Brazil, for instance, Ed Media, which is a pretty big client there. They're now using YAS and things like that. I think people are coming to us, Dave, because of all this all-in-one platform that they can come and we can solve all of their kind of needs in the area. I mean, we have integrated with content management systems where ads are being triggered based on the audience. We have implemented the technology into media players, into directly kind of manufactured digital client, digital screen manufacturers like Nanolumens, which are big partners. They created an entire new platform called Aware, where, you know, they ship the boards out of the shop, and, you know, clients can just turn on our technology embedded into the board. So I think people are liking that a lot. Second is we're not a one-trick pony. You know, they're looking at our hardware and operating systems of Matrix Creator. You know, last month we launched something called Matrix Voice, which is kind of like a mini version of Matrix Creator, but mostly for voice recognition. Mm-hmm. And I think I've come to realize that we were really serious about developing powerful but highly scalable technology. And that's rewarding because, I mean, this team works. And again, we're in Miami. I don't think many of us have seen the beach in a pretty long time. We just work really, really hard because, you know, there's these moments in time in technology that if you're able to execute as close to that moment where the market changed, you create some of these, you can create one of the most impactful companies globally. And that's what we're going for. And I think clients have come to realize that. And one of the things that I tell the team, you know, I think our team, we speak over 10 languages now. And our customer service is amazing. You know, if you think of my background, I studied hotel management at Cornell University. That was the beginning of my career. And, you know, I worked at some of the most luxurious hotels globally. So I'm very big on just customer service. Be really nice. Be attentive. Mm-hmm. Pick up the phone. Respond to messages within a few hours. So I think, you know, in an area where technology sometimes takes the front, customer service becomes second.
Yes.
And my mind is even our Matrix Creator boards. So the Matrix Creator boards, you know, people buy a board, they ship it, you know, we ship it, they get it, and then they can start creating their own things. But if you look at our customer service, even for a person that just buys a simple kind of, you know, piece of hardware, is amazing, right? And that's something that it's almost like Zappos, you know, Tony Hsieh's Zappos. Basically, they were selling shoes. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people selling shoes, including Amazon. But Zappos instituted this amazing customer service and friendly demeanor that really allowed them to go to the next level. It's part of their culture. So I'm kind of a big believer in that. It's kind of providing amazing hardware and complex technology, but removing all the complexity and just kind of pompous stuff. No, let's help the client. Let's help them understand how to make money with this technology, to wow their clients with some of the solutions. So that's a little bit of what I think people globally are using us.
All right. That time flew by.
I can't
believe how fast that went, but thank you very much, Rodolfo, for your time.
Thank you, Dave, and look forward to seeing you again. And it's an exciting moment for the industry, for sure.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.